From Genetic Engineering and Biotechnology News, this is the GenCast Network. Bringing you compelling and in-depth interviews with the biotech industry's leading researchers, newsmakers, and thought leaders. This week on the GenCast Network. Dr. David Ostrove from the University of Florida College of Medicine is interviewed by Gen's Editor-in-Chief John Sterling about a potential new therapy for high blood pressure.
Dr. David Ostrove is an assistant professor in the Department of Pathology, Immunology, and Laboratory Medicine at the University of Florida College of Medicine in Gainesville. His laboratory uses X-ray crystallography to conduct research on immune recognition. The lab also relies on methods in structure-based drug design to discover and develop novel therapies for human diseases. Dr. Ostrove, you and your research team recently discovered a drug compound that exhibited some very interesting effects in rats with persistent hypertension. What were the results of using this compound in hypertensive rats?
Well, as you may know, a significant problem with high blood pressure is end organ failure due to fibrosis in the kidney and the heart. And in this model system, we found a compound that actually reduced high blood pressure, it reduced heart rate, and in addition, it actually reversed fibrosis in the heart and the kidney.
Before you tell us about the new compound, would you first talk about the roles of angiotensin-converting enzyme, also known as ACE, and ACE2 in regulating blood pressure?
Sure. ACE, as you may know, generates peptides that constrict blood vessels, for example, angiotensin 2. And that's why many people take ACE inhibitors, because ACE generates peptides that make blood pressure high. In contrast, ACE2 has the opposite activity. ACE2 actually generates peptides that dilate blood vessels. For example, it generates peptides such as Ang-1-7. Not only that, it actually breaks down vasoconstrictor peptides, such as Ang-2. So these two enzymes, ACE and ACE2, are thought to play a counterbalancing role in regulating blood pressure.
I've read that once you hypothesize that ACE2 could be beneficial to the cardiovascular system, your research group decided to look for a compound that could enhance ACE2's activity. How did you go about doing this?
We formed a hypothesis that shifting the conformational equilibrium of an enzyme using small drug-like molecules would stabilize a specific conformation and overcome the rate-limiting step, therefore enhancing the relative catalytic efficiency. And to test this hypothesis, we probed three separate structural pockets that have been defined by crystal structures of ACE2 in the open and the closed conformations. And basically what we did was we picked structural pockets that were unique to one conformation or the other. And we picked structural pockets that had the appropriate chemistry and geometry to accommodate binding to small molecules. Once we selected these structural pockets that were specific to one conformation or the other, we probed each structural pocket using a large chemical library, and we did this by virtual screening, where each one of about 140,000 compounds was placed in the structural pockets that we selected in a defined number of orientations. And this allowed the computer to estimate the binding between each small molecule and the targeted site. The output of the program allows you to select the highest scoring compounds, that is, the compounds most likely to bind to the selected site. After screening about 140,000 compounds, we selected the top 10 for functional analysis, and we obtained these compounds and tested them for their ability to affect the enzyme activity in a very pure biochemical assay. And we initially found two compounds that enhanced the activity of ACE2 in a pure biochemical system. We then took this result in vivo. We took these compounds and brought them into the rats using the spontaneous hypertensive rat model system. And we were actually quite struck by the significant effects that we saw in the live animals. And as I mentioned, we saw significant decreases in blood pressure and heart rate and strikingly reversal of fibrosis in the heart and in the kidney.
Has this new compound been given a name yet? Do we know anything about it? Just what is this compound? Is this something you know you're still working on in terms of patenting and things like that?
This compound has a chemical name, and it is a member of the xanthinone family of compounds. In terms of its key attributes, it follows the Lipinski rules, which you may be familiar with. The Lipinski rules are chemical characteristics that FDA-approved orally bioavailable drugs possess. And what this means is that since these molecules that we found actually follow these Lipinski rules, this suggests that they may be developed rapidly into a drug that can be taken orally.
It looks like your team relied on a rational structure-based approach to discover this compound. Would you explain why you believe this was the first time anyone had ever used this method to discover a compound that enhances the activity of an enzyme?
There are activators that are currently used in the clinic. For example, the PPAR activators for diabetes, such as the glitazones. However, they were discovered empirically, in contrast to what we did, which was a very rational, structure-based approach that was directed towards a specific structural pocket, rather than empirically by trial and error. So in addition to that distinction, though, I asked leaders in the field, such as Vern Schramm, the chairman of the Department of Biochemistry at the Albert Einstein College of Medicine, who's very experienced in studying enzyme mechanisms, and I've spoken with other leaders in the field, and to his knowledge and to my knowledge, there are no other examples of a rational, structure-based approach to enhance the activity of an enzyme. If there were such studies, I would be strongly interested in seeing them and learning from them, but to our knowledge, this is the first such study.
My final question is, what are the next steps that you and your team have planned to move this research to the next level?
Well, now that we've identified compounds that work in live animals, now we're trying to optimize the lead compounds so that we can obtain maximal efficacy and safety, so that we can then carry out detailed pharmacokinetic and pharmacodynamic studies, which are necessary to submit an investigational new drug application to the FDA in order to begin clinical trials, which we hope will be in 2 years.
I'm John Sterling. Thanks for listening. If you would like to comment on this week's podcast, please go to our podcast section at www.genengnews.com and give us your thoughts. We'd really like to hear from you. Bye for now.
To learn more about topics discussed in this GenCast or to listen to previous GenCasts, visit our website at www.genengnews.com. New GenCasts are posted every week, Thursday, 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. For the Gen Publishing editorial staff, I'm Jonathan Ellinghaus saying thanks for listening, and be sure to tune in again next week to the GenCast Network.